Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There we go. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show.
Christmas theme tune there. Woo! The One Show has got a festive remix. Welcome to the very latest edition of podcasts, The One Show, which every week with Christmas in mind puts its hand up The One Show's back passage and pulls the giblets out to see what they look like. And then we stuff it with lols. I am John Holmes, and this week on The One Show, Michael Bublé spoons chips into the mouths of strangers. The poor have their noses rubbed in it, and a piano gets stuck up a mountain. Joining me to pull the One Show's hair in the podcast playground this week is actor, writer, who's been in Raised by Wolves, Upstart Crow, The Archers, it's Helen Monks, and comedian and man who's been in this podcast, it's Al Ormey. Hello.
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 Welcome.
Thank you for joining
us.
It's
actually just Orm.
Is it?
Okay,
I don't care. Never heard of it. Right, Silent E.
Yeah.
Like in The One Show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Almost in warm.
All right.
I would say.
Yeah. Irony, given that you're not. Right. So let's start with Helen, because Helen.
Yeah.
Likes The One Show.
I like it.
You might be the first guest we've had on that watches it anyway.
Yeah, I love it. I'm sorry. I think it's brilliant. I love all the voices that they do. They're all from different places.
So are you thinking of The One Show or Spitting Image?
What? I love all the guests they get on. I love the awkward audience that stand there.
Oh yeah, they're like a Top Gear audience. Except yeah. Instead of pulling all the fit ones who's had a wash.
So you don't watch it like all the time?
Not religiously.
No, that's Songs of Praise.
It was more during my childhood. I'd watch it a lot more than do now, because who watches live television now? And it's a bit sad to watch it on the iPlayer. But you know, if I'm out and about, get back, need something to chop the onions to, then The One Show is my go-to.
Right, it's perfect onion chopping background noise.
Oh, I love Alex Jones.
Oh, lovely Alex Jones. Who this week, the big announcement on Monday.
Drum roll. Yeah.
Alex Jones is with child.
Yeah. So to kind of say, I'm not fat.
That tells you went into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no one thought you were, Alex.
No one's been watching The One Show in the last few weeks going, Yeah, and believe me, I watch it all the time for this. No one's been going, oh, she's putting on a bit. No, I didn't even
but
know.
But now I feel really bad about myself. I'm like, oh, well, we're supposed to think she was fat. Yeah. Because if that's fat, then...
Yeah, she certainly was.
But congratulations to her. What
I completely agree.
News.
Congratulations, that's fantastic.
And I love the way they did it. They nearly ran out of time in that episode. And then just at the last minute, she went, I'm with child.
Yeah.
And a bit of news before we go. Now, I've not been on the mince pie. There is a little baby, look.
Yay, baby number two. Charlie, and to
tell you as well. Stable, stable. Tomorrow we're done. The one lonely Michael Boolan.
Of course we are. See you later. Bye.
Well done, Al. Monday's episode, wasn't it? So it was. I was surprised they didn't just do it at the beginning and then keep that as a bit of a theme, because that's a one show.
But or like kind of lead into it, tease it somehow of like, guess what? We've been brewing or something.
Yeah. Guess what Alex has got up her? Send it. The address is on the screen. Send in your... But yeah, well, and then they missed an opportunity because they do like, as we know, the listeners to join in with sending pictures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there was a missed viewers. That's right. Thank you. there was a moment where I considered them just to go, well, you know, if you've... if you've got a baby in you, why not send us a picture of that? Which is fine. It's a very one show thing to do.
It felt like maybe she didn't want loads of attention drawn to it. It felt like a really deliberate choice to put it at the end. And they've not really mentioned it since.
There was a bit where Michael Bublé was on.
She made a bit of a saucy reference to the how she'd conceived the child.
She did.
With a soundtrack to Michael Boobies.
Well, I couldn't work out whether she was sort of intimating at a Bublé threesome.
And it's kind of an outpouring, isn't it, in every sense of the word, and some people have called it a baby making record.
Some people have.
When you say some people, I'm a person.
Funnily, we had a preview back in the summer sometime. No, we didn't. I'm joking.
You're joking, but even the thought that I could be involved in something so beautiful.
What was going on there? Bublé's a good-looking man, isn't he? I hadn't really... I mean, I know of Michael Bublé, but I've never really seen him on anything.
Even that bit where he's giving them all the... Like, he took out the poutine later on in the show.
And yeah.
Even the women there, he was like, have some of this. Even you could tell even if they were vegan, they'd, I'm having some of his curds.
It was... We should talk... I mean...
Spoon-feeding them Putin, though. Yeah. It was a bit of a political message undertone.
It was a weird...
And there was one woman who just, both times, he was kind of, oh, who wants some? She leant in.
Me!
And he just, she missed him. And then the second time, she opened her mouth and he just went right by her.
We should point out that anyone listening to this who didn't watch it won't know what we're talking about in terms of poutine. So this is a Canadian delicacy.
Not the president of Russia.
But I expected it to be an exotic dish. I thought, because we weren't really sure. They cut back after a film and they got three cardboard boxes of what we at first didn't see, and they were starting to eat it, going, this is a Canadian delicacy. This is something from Canada.
Because they've been talking about Yorkshire puddings and roast potato and saying how great that
was. That's right. Mm-hmm. And it turns out it's just chips and cheese
Cheesy
and gravy.
Cheesy chips.
Which we've got here, like...
I mean, it's not a...
he was like, this is my delicacy that I'm bringing, a cultural thing I'm bringing to you. It's like, we've got that on every seafront in the UK already. But also particularly Alex, who didn't have the cheese, she just had chips and gravy.
Because of the pregnancy thing. Yeah, exactly, so she mentioned it again.
Potatoes feature very heavily in one of Canada's most famous delicacies. Now, this is poutine. Am I saying it right, Michael?
Poutine. Yeah, poutine.
Okay, now talk us through this, because this is heaven in a box.
You know what? What is not to love about beautiful cheese curds that are melted with French fries and gravy? That's this.
It's amazing.
It's so good, you guys. And I was so excited, not just to be here with you, but I was really hungry today. And when I found out that they had this... I was delighted because I couldn't wait to come out here and eat it. But now you're doing that, I'm talking.
Al's not having the cheese curds just because it's unpasteurised. But
I tell you what, chips and gravy are winner.
Hey, gentlemen, I don't know where they are.
Bublé wouldn't stop eating it. They were trying to interview him and he's just shoving cheesy chips and gravy down his own face.
But the way that he was eating as well meant that he was leaning down into his lap, so it meant that you couldn't even see his face for a lot of the interview.
Just his jaw wagging up now with gravy running into his beard.
They spent about a minute on his album. And then most of the time was just him eating chips.
Eating chips.
But where do they get the name poutine from? Poutine. No one seemed to know how to say it.
I think it's the French influence in Canada.
But the thing is, this was off the back of a film with Alex Riley.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Right. One of the dullest off-the-shelf films where...
Which one was this?
Looks like he used to edit The Viz.
He'd gone to Oxfam's clothes sorting headquarters.
He's gone, do you know, if you want cheaper clothes than the high street, do you know what you can do? There's a new novelty called charity shops.
If you want a discount on a dead man's coat...
So she was like, I'm going to put this on our website. That'll probably sell for about £150.
Yeah. But it was all clothes that have been rejected by the shops that are now in the warehouse that they're trying to reflog on the...
Oh. These haven't sold, so we'll be trying to sell them for more money.
And the woman taking around definitely had like a cashmere scarf on.
Yeah. She'd stolen that.
You can't fix that from a box. Yeah. Definitely.
That's £5 that won't be going to Oxford.
But then clearly, when they came back off this quite boring film, it was obvious that Bublé... hadn't been watching it at all because the moment the film started, we always wonder whether they watch the films or not on this programme, and it just proved it because it cut back and Matt Baker was just going, well, I can't believe it. You're doing it, Michael. And he was spooning this stuff into the mouths of these women, these expectant women. It was like a mother bird coming back to the nest with her little chicks looking up, tweeting with their beaks open. And he's just chucking chips and gravy into their faces.
You're so right as well, because the previous video, or at least the first one of that week's episode, was Billy Colomostomy. And he clearly watched that because it came back to him and he was practically in tears over it, wasn't it? And you're right. And then you come back to the one about the...
What
Oscar.
An insult to Alex Riley, that is. Is that Michael, your film was so boring about clothes at Oxfam.
That's a week's work there, isn't it, that man's put into
And all Michael Bublé's not interested in you. He's just interested in a box of chips. That he's going to give to people. And then Michael Bublé just said, this is one of the most fun things I've ever done, spooning junk food faces of a one-show audience.
Thanks, Alex. Look at Michael feeding our audience. I can't believe you're doing that, Michael. You've literally been there for the last 4 minutes.
I really have. I feel that this is one of the most fun things I've ever done.
Is this part of the new tour that you're going to be doing?
This is something that I think may be part of the second act.
Yeah.
Anybody else want to have a little taste? Here you go, Bernie.
There we are. One more, and then you'll have to come and sit down. Come and sit down.
Okay.
Because, as we said...
Get a life.
So there was a great bit when they were talking about the Christmas decorations, and he's saying, oh, yeah, I've got all of mine up. And Matt Baker just goes, oh, yeah, have you got them in the gutters and everywhere? And Bublé just ignores him and he's doing it. No, we don't put our Christmas lights in gutters.
Bublé, though, was they tried to involve him in a quiz. Did you see
that?
The easiest quiz in the world.
Yeah.
What an emoji quiz.
What is this? And they put up a Christmas tree and it's like, could that be Christmas tree?
But I wasn't sure. Well, it's because his album's called Love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they say, well, there's a heart emoji on the cover. So we've got a little emoji based quiz for you. What?
They didn't speak about the album at all.
No.
They just did this emoji nonsense.
But he was really good at it.
Yeah, he was
He had
brilliant.
To name his own
because
song.
Because it was his own song.
Yeah, I know, that's what I thought, yeah.
Just from a couple of emojis, okay?
Basically, like symbols?
Say what you see, yeah?
Okay.
You've got to try and
so
guess the
sing
song.
The answer.
So let's have
amazing.
A text. Let's see what's come in.
Okay.
Here's the first text.
White Christmas?
White Christmas, yes it is! And there's your lovely dulcet tones. There we are.
Love that
Christmas.
One. Should we just leave it on? Do another one.
Oh, another text, another
this
text.
This is a bit harder, actually.
Kissing a Fool.
Oh.
Am I right?
You've been right. That's
George
been.
Michael, great George Michael song.
I said you must have been a kissing a fool.
Okay, next one.
I can't
then.
Believe I got that one.
This is too easy.
Let's make this a little easy. This is quite difficult. We're going to turn up the difficulty dial with this.
How can you mend a broken heart?
He knows his own songs, and they were. What was one of them that was literally one emoji of a house? And it was
home.
What's this? Oh, it's home.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And a snowball and a Christmas tree.
Yeah, I thought that was like snowballing under the Christmas tree.
Which is a festive tradition in your house.
He was so charming.
Yeah, he was. But you could tell there was one bit when they showed him how he dressed himself at the start of his career. And after it came back from that clip, his lips were completely pursed and he looked so angry. He's like...
They do like to insult people on the one show. They insult again. Did you see the one with John Bishop?
Yeah.
So this was John Bishop and Nadia Hussein from Bake Off.
Oh, we love her.
Yeah, she was so nice.
You love everything about it. I can't, you know, you're just not going to be slagging any of it off, are you?
I'll slag off John Bishop. I'll do that.
But they sort of said, John, you know, John Bishop's here and he's going to be talking about whatever he's going to be talking about in a minute. And then they did that thing where they pick someone. They've done this before. They said, now we're... I did write it down as well. It was the quote was something like, now we are going over to a very successful award-winning comedian now, John.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I infer, not you. Yeah. And it was just kind of, what are you doing that for? And then they said, Susan Kalman. Yeah. And I'm going... What?
The maddest thing...
John Bishop's more successful than Susan? Yeah. I don't know. But I think they were doing a little joke about Billy Connolly.
They were, because they were saying, oh, a great comedian, and she met Billy Connolly.
Yeah.
So that was the thing. But they split that over two episodes, that video, and there was almost no content in either of them, I thought.
There was nothing, was there?
Are you joking? It opened with Susan Kalman crying her eyes.
That was really weird.
All I got from it was this.
Wait, is that her? Oh, guys, I don't hear any of this.
All the time.
Oh, we love Susan's laughing. Yeah.
And tomorrow, Billy.
She's got
also,
an amazing laugh. I know she has. She's a
yeah, Billy will also be talking about a big documentary.
I was absolutely sobbing my eyes out along with her. Imagine me when she was like, imagine meeting the person that was the reason that you were doing your job, and then he didn't really know how to respond, did he? Just like, I don't think he even gave her a pat.
I have a feeling, and I don't know this, but I have a feeling that all the cutaway shots of Billy Connolly reacting to Susan Kalman weren't the real reactions.
Oh,
they
weren't
in the same room, were they?
This is an incredible thing for me to meet you today, because I played a tape of yours. Oh dear, I've started already. When I was 12, and you're the reason I do what I do.
No, they did have a hug.
Dun, dun, dun. That was all body.
There was a definite weird. It was like he was completely unamused by everything she said.
He was
all
completely
the time.
Blank,
and it was, and she was like gushing out, just going, "You inspired me," which is great. And then she started crying in his face, and he just looked really confused. And then all of the shots they were using as cutaways of Billy Connolly reacting to her talking seemed to me to be just when they left the camera on him before they told him they started filming. She was just sort of staring into space.
It looked to me like, despite the Parkinson's and the abuse as a child, that was the worst thing he'd been through.
Hi, I'm Julia Rayside, and I'd like to invite you aboard my podcast. Always There is the only podcast to navigate through every single episode in order of the 1980s seafaring soap opera, Howard's Way. You don't have to love Howard's Way or even remember it. We're going to talk about it anyway, because I think it's brilliant.
Somebody's nicked my bloody boat!
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Hello there.
there.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Quickly, we haven't got long. Please listen to the all-new Angelos and Barry podcast.
It's a funny one.
Oh, my God, it's hilarious. There's so much muck in it.
And then we like to come to things you've learned as well during.
Oh yeah,
anything? Did you learn anything from this week's?
It all just washes over me like a warm bath.
I learned one thing, yeah. But just from this podcast last week, which was that if your girlfriend asks you what felching is, you just go, "I don't know." You don't, when you're listening back, say, "Oh, this is what it is."
You're gonna have to, if you didn't hear that last week. I urge you to go back and listen to last week's episode when Matt Baker genuinely said the word felch.
What is felching?
Oh, God.
No, you have to tell me now. Should I Google it?
Can we tell you? Google it now.
Yeah.
You Google felching.
And then shall I tell the listener? Because what if they don't know?
Well, they can Google it too.
Can I guess what it is?
I once was at a writer's group and they said to us, "Oh, you do writing prompts," and you gave you a word a minute and you had to include it in a story. And so I was just writing smut. So I'd written it in and they said, "Oh, does anyone want to read them out?" And they said, "Oh, you." I was like, "No, I don't want." So they made me do it, and it had felching in it. And then everyone said, "Well, what's that?" It's a bunch of oldies. So I had to explain it to them all.
Well, Helen's now looking it up.
I've seen what it is. Yeah. I'll leave that to everyone else. Yeah, Google it their own time.
The Wikipedia page.
Yeah, but the Matt Baker said it by accident last week. That's
What did he say instead?
He was trying to introduce a film, and he just said, "Well, it's time now for a felt." No, that's not. They all sound the same. He just said, "Time now for a felch, film." Yeah. And then that prompted.
Well, that is clearly Bruno, some Freudian stuff isn't it? Coming out, isn't it?
Yeah, and next week Alex is pregnant. You do the math.
Seepage.
So, learning stuff. Here's what I learned. I learned that Olly Murs can't swim.
Oh, yeah.
He said he can't swim. Yeah. Nadia Hussein's birthday is on Christmas Day as well. That's what, they're the two things.
They
and Alex is pregnant.
Over that, didn't they? I thought that was a really interesting fact, and they went, anyway.
Yeah. What did you make of the, was that Monday? Was John Bishop and Nadia
John Bishop
Hussein?
Nadia Hussein was Monday.
Monday, okay. So that was the one as well.
Buble Tuesday.
But again, that was where you're putting two people who are very different and promoting very different things on the sofa together and trying to balance that, where they were sort of trying to have some kind of interaction with each other, but it just didn't really work because one of them's talking about cakes and one of them's talking about the fact that he should definitely divorce his wife. He was like, "Oh, my comedy comes out of the fact that my relationship is awful," because that's what everyone has, isn't it? And I wanted to be like, "No."
I love the bit where she goes, "Matt, what's it, John, you play Curry Top Trumps, don't you?" And he goes, "No."
I know. It was another brilliant bit of one show research. Yeah. He's like, "Oh, we'll get 5 minutes out of this. John, the Curry Top Trumps that you play." And he's like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And he had no idea. Yeah. And he just shut it down with a no. And then she went, "What? No, you do." She insisted. Yeah.
She said, "You do.
Now, John, you play Curry Top Trumps, don't you?"
Well, no, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I can't remember. What was the story even about?
It was, he goes, I start off, he goes, having a coma. And he goes, "Then my mate goes, and he'll have a biryani." And then he goes, "Oh," and then it goes on. And then you got to, "Oh, it's as hard as you can, I'm going to lick the bloody oven." And he goes, "Oh, if you're not in hospital the next day, it's not worth it." And then, like Nadia Hussein's next, and he just goes, "Oh, yeah, if he goes, it's a lot better nowadays. Forget about toilet paper in the fridge."
Oh, yeah. Which got one of those one-show studio awkward laughs. Yeah.
I love the idea as well that is in any way going to have anything in common with Nadia, just because she happens to sometimes make Asian dishes. Yeah. And so she's therefore going to relate to the kind of laddie culture of trying to burn your own tongue off.
I did like her the clip of her film where she went to see some Buddhist monks.
Oh, yeah.
In Nepal. So she's done this show.
Buddhist nuns, I think it was, actually.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. They said nuns, yeah.
Buddhist nuns.
But they were monks.
No, they
looked like it, but they were nuns.
They've just got shaved heads, so they all kind of look the same. Yeah,
you've assumed their gender.
But maybe that's a compliment, because I think the idea is they're all supposed to look as one. So
right.
Nuns,
well, they
monks,
did.
Potato.
They look quite potato-y in their head shaving stage. But she'd obviously gone, okay, the buddies. No, but there was sword fighting.
So yes.
There was, and they said to her something like, a nunk said, kind of intimated that Nadia might want to join in. This is a documentary she's done where she's tracked down the DNA of her family and she's got a bit of Nepali in her.
Oh, yeah.
So, they said, do you want to try this? And she said, I'm better with knives. Yes. But out of context, saying that to a nun monk just sounded like they were like, what?
Because you also saw some Buddhist nuns who were doing some kung fu. So like,
looking at them, they look powerful, they look determined, they look strong. And if you can look like that, surely you must feel that in the inside. Yeah,
obviously, yes.
Do you want to try it with a sword?
Oh, no, I'm better with knives.
I'm better with knives.
In the kitchen.
But she was a murderer. Scared, and the judge said, they're in the kitchen. They go, I don't know who you are.
Lots of nervous laughter.
And then she said, because there was a bit, and she said, I think John Bishop asked her, what did you cook for them? And she said, they're all vegan. And Alex Jones says, oh, yeah, it's a thing now, isn't it?
It was great because I got to cook for them, which was really good.
What did you make?
Well, they're vegan. I was like, oh, man.
Right. It's a thing now, though, isn't it?
I was like, it's all, thing. I mean, they're on bang on trend.
not killing animals.
Yeah, it's a thing. There was a film about vegans last week, so it's obviously on Alex's mind. And then they, of course, they did the usual thing of the One Show of introducing a film that you go, why? And the way they did it, they just, because they're also on this show, they got a free climber.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, bin that off.
Who was scaled El Capitan.
Absolutely what you're doing.
Yeah.
What is he doing? Do you know, Stop that.
He looked like a psychopath. Because the first thing, when they first introduced him, they said, is he a thrill seeker or is he insane? And it cut to a shot of him looking completely mental.
Yeah.
But he is. He admitted it. He said, you know, they've done an MRI on my brain and I don't get thrills from the things that people get thrills from every day. Which is when I suddenly went, oh, actually, it's better you're climbing a mountain than killing people.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought.
But it is impressive. You know, this is the guy who scales the most difficult rock faces with no ropes. You know, and it takes months and planning to get the camera crews up there and everything else.
So how do you lead into that?
Well, I like the sort of half leading was, soon we'll meet the free climber who scaled El Capitan. Without any ropes. But first, we asked Richard Mainwaring to climb the highest mountain in the British Isles with a piano.
Shortly, we're going to be meeting a man who loves nothing more than climbing a rock face without a rope or a harness. It's just incredible. He's here. We're going to talk to him very shortly. But first, we set our resident musician a climbing challenge of his own.
Yes, we asked Richard Mainwaring to climb the highest mountain in the British Isles with a piano.
He was like, what turn did that take there? What do you mean? And then they did, a man was getting a piano at Ben Nevis.
Yeah. Well, unsuccessfully. Well, no.
They went all the way, hours and hours and hours.
6 hours.
Yeah. And then he just kind of goes, you know what? This bit, we'll call this our summit. So, no, that's the summit.
Hey, it's up there. You can't just say, and they considered it a success. No, you failed. Yeah.
But then did you see him playing the piano at what they called their summit to this crowd of absolutely miserable looking people because they just climbed for six hours unsuccessfully?
I think we make this our summit. I reckon we do our concert, yeah.
So it's now time for me to play Scotland the Brave. Not quite at the summit, but still on the highest piano in Britain. In front of a rather exhausted audience. And now, to take it all the way back down again.
The best bit was that their inspiration to do that was that two people had done it on their own, pissed. And this team of hikers couldn't do it.
It's an advert for alcohol, isn't it?
The piano was found at Ben Nevis, they said. I can't remember, years ago.
Yeah.
And so they were trying to recreate this pointless exercise. But as you rightly say, two pissed people did it.
At one point he goes, it makes you wonder who was dumb enough to do this in the first place. It's like, you've come back.
They should have got the rickshaw challenge group to do it. They were a hardy bunch. Take it up there on a rickshaw. Get it on the back of it.
Did you see the bit at the end?
The joke.
Because at the end, when they'd finished, they just shoved it down and broke the piano. They were going like end to end, toppling it over, and they didn't give a shit.
They just broke it. And at the end as well, he was like, we've all become firm friends, but they didn't show anybody's faces once they got to the bottom because they clearly were all so miserable
really
and grumpy. Yeah. And they'd never met before as well. They just got a random group of people who'd never met to do this horrendous, grueling thing.
I mean, climbing Ben Nevis is a hard thing anyway, right? So to take up an actual piano up there.
And we don't know how high they got. They didn't say, oh, we're halfway or we're nearly there. They just completely.
Yards.
So for all we know.
Might as well have gone, this car park, we'll call this our summit.
And then a wheel fell off the trolley they were using. Yeah. And then, you know, just to make it, just to rub it in a bit more. And they cut back to Alex, didn't they, holding a bolt in her hand in the studio. Yeah. She just said something like, I feel a bit guilty now about pulling the bolts out of that. Yeah.
I feel a bit guilty now about pulling the bolts out of the trolley. Who knew Richard Mainwaring didn't have a sense of humour?
I know, he wasn't happy, was he?
Wasn't happy at all.
I feel more sorry for the piano and for the footpath, for that matter. But anyway, luckily, our next...
Fuck those guys. Terrible. That was just before she announced she was pregnant as well, so she was in a jaunty mood, I think. Bublé, though, on Tuesday, there was a nice... we always like to talk about handbrake turns, of course, and how you get in and out of films and subjects. Mm-hmm. There was a sort of minor one here. Now, they've started... They're more difficult to find handbrake turns recently, I think, you know, because we know some of them listen to this.
I was going to say, I think you've been putting them on their best behaviour.
Yeah. There was the bit when Bublé did an impression of his own wife.
Yeah.
Matt Baker loved that, didn't he? Michael Bublé was talking about his wife...
The video, because they played a video of his new music video for the album, and they played that, and he was talking about her reaction.
That's right, because he had to, you know, as with these videos, he had to sort of feign a love interest actress. And then he talked about how his wife watched it and was just angry.
I got home with the video, and they sent me the video, and I said to my wife, I said, can you look at this, and can you just tell me, do I look okay, and if it's a good go for you? So she looked at it, and I said... So I said, okay, babe, you know, is it okay? And she said, what you and that girl talk about in the video? And I said, what? And I said, what? And she said, yeah, when you're walking down the beach with her, you guys are laughing. What's funny that you're laughing about?
And I said, it's lovely that your wife feels like that.
Oh, thank God she loves me.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
she still thinks you're hot.
Could you imagine if she said, like, I don't care?
Exactly. That would be so much worse, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I just love your impression of your wife. It's brilliant.
And then they asked him. Did they say to Bublé? They said something like, and because the food was on the way with the cheesy gravy chips, and then they came out of the wife impression. It was really kind of weird where they said, as though it was a big question. So last week they had a Brexit debate.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
this week, the big question was, should you have Yorkshire pudding with your Christmas
meal? Now, we've been having this big debate, right, in our office today, OK?
OK.
Should you have Yorkshire pudding with Christmas lunch?
I think yes. What do we think? Hands up. Hands up for yes. Hands down for no. Hands up. Is it the majority? Is it the majority? Oh, it's about 50-50.
Yeah.
About 50-50.
You guys
there.
Have to teach me. Culturally, is this a thing? This is...
Wow.
Well,
see, that's the other side of the
coin. Normally, it's with beef,
traditionally.
But, I mean, they're so nice. Just eat it with everything.
I could never refuse a Yorkshire pudding anyway.
Yeah.
But basically, in other Christmas lunch news, today there has been a survey out that says that roast potatoes are the best part of the Christmas dinner.
Yes! Hang on, though. Better even than pigs in blankets. Now, that's controversial. But this year, potatoes could be an issue, as unusual weather means spuds aren't as big. And Chris has been to find out if good things come in small packages.
Because she goes, gravy ponds, she said at one point.
Just randomly. But it's really awkward as well, because that is a viable question, but there are only two answers to it. It's not a big Brexit debate where you go, oh, there's nuance to this. You either think you should or you think you shouldn't, and then they had nowhere to go, where the audience all raised their hands up whether they thought they should or shouldn't, and then they went, anyway.
Yeah, but Matt was very keen, wasn't he? He was very keen on his Yorkshire.
Well, she goes, Yorkshire puddings with everything. Caviar, a bit of placenta, just Yorkshire puddings with anything. But there was a better bit than that when Bublé was on, when she just goes, like, completely gloss over, she goes, it's been a difficult couple of years. Yeah, with his son had cancer and nearly died.
Yes, see, I didn't realise. I had to Google what his difficult couple of years was, because I didn't know that about Bublé. Yeah. That's terrible. So he said that, there was an assumption there that we all know everything.
Yeah.
Okay, and I thought, what's Bublé had a couple of difficult years? I didn't realise. So I Googled it and went, is a couple of difficult years. His son had liver cancer, I think.
Yeah, and he nearly died. He's only three.
Yeah, and he's now, like, better.
Yeah.
But he also announced that he was quitting music as a result of it. So I think this is him back.
Because that's what they talked about. Yeah. They said, how did you get back in? And he said, oh, alcohol helped. And then Alex Jones, who's pregnant, said, alcohol always helps.
So that's the one show at primetime promoting alcoholism.
Yeah, and they did it with the piano thing up the mountain.
They did.
That, you know, clearly... the AA need to call them up and have they a
then,
word.
There was then a off the back of the Yorkshire pudding, Matt just went, so in other Christmas lunch news, then just got us into a film about potatoes.
Oh, that was my favourite one.
Oh, no, it was so bad.
Oh, I zoned right out of it.
It was terrible. What did you like about the potato film? From start to finish.
What didn't I like about the potato film? Potato is the best part of the Christmas dinner. And it's important, I think, that we all understand and appreciate where our potatoes come from. Because, can I tell you something? I have been looking at the potatoes in my supermarket and thinking they're a bit small recently. And now, having watched that video...
Because that was the whole thing, yeah.
You know, I understand.
But they built it into a massive drama. And they started off, oh, the beast from the east came. And then we had the baking summer. And then they said, oh, it's been so dreadful. Our spuds are going to be slightly misshapen. And they're going to be more expensive and small. And then they went to the supermarket at the end and they said, so will it affect people buying them? Will it change anything? And she went, no, not at all.
And when you cook them, they just taste the same.
That's
what, a waste of everyone's time.
I think what a brilliant message to those potato farmers who are spending all year worrying that they're going to be out of business and that people will start hating them. And then you get the shoppers at Asda going, we don't mind. Those farmers are going to watch that and their spirits are going to be uplifted thanks to The One Show. So well done, The One Show.
And in the words of the Spice Girls, stop right now. Thank you very much. That's where we must leave part one, just as someone said that thing. And tomorrow we'll pelt you with part two, which will pick up exactly where this part one left off, which means that for the first few moments, it'll make zero sense. But just like The One Show itself, we'll be back whether you want it or not.
Hello. Rule of Three is the podcast where funny people talk about funny stuff that they love. And this week, we've got a couple of Christmas specials, which means we've put sort of baubles on it. So we'll be talking about Morecambe and Wise's rating-smashing 1977 Christmas special, and we'll also be talking about A Charlie Brown Christmas. Rule of Three.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive? And your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never-ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.